Good afternoon. You're listening to On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union on WPB 88.1 FM. We're your hosts for today's show. I'm Sherelle Reed.
And I'm Mason. The Student Union is a youth-led organization. We are a group of young people from Philadelphia Public Schools making changes in the school system, doing political education and leadership development.
On Blast is the only youth-led and youth-produced radio show in Philadelphia. That means that students do the interviews, edit and produce segments, and we host the show. We're using the media as a tool to organize and liberate young people.
You can tune in to On Blast every Sunday from 2 to 3 on 88.1 FM WPEB. Or you can also listen to the show online by going to our podcast at onblast.podmatic.com. While you are there, you can also subscribe to our podcast and have new shows sent to your iTunes directly.
Today you'll hear a piece by Daniel Jones and Simone Waller about young people in the military.
And we'll hear highlights from PSU's action in response to the district's plan called Imagine 2014 to close down neighborhood schools and hand them over to outside companies. Plus, we'll have music and other news.
Now you'll hear some audio from PSU's action outside the school district building.
On February 25th, PSU held an action in front of the school district building. During the action, students reflected on equity in the school, in the Philadelphia public schools, 55 years after Brown versus Board of Education. The action was in response to the district's new strategic plan called Imagine 2014. This plan is based off Renaissance 2010, the Chicago plan for closing and taking over low-performing schools. We know that closing schools or having them taken over by charter management organizations or education management organizations is not the answer for fixing our schools. So at this action, we presented a different vision for community empowerment that will lead to whole school transformation. Now some highlights from the action.
What Renaissance 2010 was not good for communities or poor students. When schools were closed in Chicago, students were pushed out into other neighborhood schools, causing overcrowding and making schools there much worse.
They say it's innovation, we say it's segregation. They say it's innovation, we say it's segregation. We say it's innovation, we say it's segregation.
I don't think they can hear y'all.
It's
what?
Innovation,
I don't think they can hear y'all. Y'all need to get loud.
Within Student Union, I know that there are already huge inequities between our schools. We have neighborhood schools, magnet schools, and charter schools. These schools are all really different. Even though they represent different choices, everyone does not have a choice. If not every choice is a good choice, or if only some people have a choice, then what is the point of choice?
We have to be the change that we're saying that we need. And I think at this time that what we're talking about is that 7 years later, the state takeover is over. It's been 7 years. We've got models and studies. We know what has happened in that time period, and this is a chance to do it right. We've got an opportunity this time to change things from the bottom up, to use people from the communities, to have students engaged, parents engaged, teachers engaged in the transformation of schools. If that doesn't happen, then change can't truly happen. Change can't come to you, it has to come from you.
So our main demand was to sit down with Dr. Ackerman about the strategic plan. We already got that done. That's happening tomorrow.
I had a dream one day the businesses trying to buy our schools will realize that we are not a nation at risk, and they are not the army to save us. I had a dream we reach the goals that we worked so hard for. A place where we are not going backwards. A place where there is no segregation among the Philadelphia public schools. A place where our education is equal. A place where every child had a chance to go to college, no matter their race or income. A place where school districts joined together and found a way that was right and applied it, not just to schools that their parents pay money for, but all of them. I had a place where schools were all funded equally. I had a dream that the people of my nation came together and put aside their differences and saw the bigger picture. We worked together and took down all the obstacles that came our way. I had a dream. After all those years of fighting, the war was finally over. But then I woke up and I was back to the sad reality.
When they start to segregate our schools now in the 21st century, we got to look at it like this. If you disinvest in education, where would these students go? What jobs would they hold? I know I go to West Philadelphia High School. Since my ninth grade year, I've been involved in a community process. And for them to even option up the idea of turning West into a charter, what is my community supposed to do? What am I supposed to do as a student? Where's the justice?
Education for liberation means that our school, that our education prepares us to be able to change the world around us, not just get us slotted into the system. Education for liberation is what we need, is what as people we have fought for. It is what the freedom schools are about, were about. It's about knowing our history, but also fully understanding the reality of today. It prepares us to be critical thinkers who can participate in democracy, not just test taking robots who are prepared for low wage jobs.
We'll never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated. The students united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated. The students united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated. The students united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated. The students united will never be defeated.
If you're just joining us, this is On Blast with Philadelphia Student Union on WPEV 88.1 FM.
Just as we see what is going on in Chicago, people in Chicago also see what is happening here. A Chicago blogger named Mike Klonsky noticed our action and wrote a blog post about it. In it, he mentioned that 16 more schools in Chicago are closing as part of Renaissance 2010. The night before the school board voted on closing the schools, community members from across the city held a protest and candlelight vigil outside the school district building and spent the night camped out in tents in the cold Chicago weather. They called for the district to put any school closings on hold. They also asked for the independent study of the effect of the school closings on communities. Supporting groups included the teachers' union, parents, students, and community organizers.
Also, the schools that are closing tend to be in poor neighborhoods. According to CBS News, Chicago resident Daryl Smith said, "If you close a school like Walter Reed, you not only close the school, but you take away valuable resources that the kids need." Another resident, Maria Hernandez, said, "We were there when it was hard, when it was dangerous, and now that it's better for our children and safer, now they want to kick us out. Why? Because we're the minority and we're also in low-income families."
Arnie Duncan, the former CEO of Chicago Public Schools, is now our nation's Secretary of Education. He is strongly invested in the Renaissance 2010 model and could use it to affect national education policy. Here in Philadelphia, the school district has just come out with its strategic plan called Imagine 2014. It calls for closing 30 to 35 schools and replacing them with charters and outside providers. Essentially, the district just wants to give up on these schools and offer them to corporate interests. Despite massive resistance, Chicago has gotten away with closing dozens of schools. We cannot allow this to happen here.
Stay tuned for more On Blast after this short music break.
Hold on. Reaches in my knapsack, stashed in my membrane. Want to take my slick ways to the bank and get paid. Trying to cash in on my imagination. They just mad because the man can't tap into my matrix. How I'm supposed to make it when establishments are hating. Trying to sell that product on my hard-earned statement. I say it ain't no such thing as wrong if that perspective's what you make it. It ain't wrong, it's creative. They like, we ain't friends, we pretend fester in the hate. But if you translate your pain. Now you getting paid. But let's press pause on that CD, spin a nickel dime bag of hustles with the eyes ching-ching and no contact lenses. Open the windows of the soul, they're just out pushing bull. This a business from the go. And they've been colder than that in the city where from the jump. I've been peeping since Jordan been taking it to the hole. No, we won't go. Been having to fight since before I can ball up my fist. No, we won't go. Now I'm living in days
with slingshots exchanged for hollow tips.
No, we won't go. They threw me in the line before I was in the picture. No, we won't go. Now keep at it till we 6 feet in.
They say the world is yours, but have no access to it. Divided we stand, but together we do it. In the slums and ghettos is where we live. Do our bids, in the dark they raise our kids. We move one step forward and two steps back. Why is it that we steer to this one-way track? The well-known track, so drugs make you do off that. Slipping while you're pitching, spider sense should be twitching. Lost in the sauce like you cooking in the kitchen. Should've went right, but you chose to go wrong. Sitting in the cell with your face looking long. Thinking of the days you used to play ball. A dream deferred is the story of it all. Now you sing the sad, sad song of how you lived so fast and fell so far.
No, we won't go. Been having to fight since before I could ball up my fist. No!
Days with slingshots exchanged for hollow tips.
No, we won't go.
They drew me in the lines before I was in the picture.
No, we won't go.
Now keep at it till you 6 feet in.
If you're just joining us, this is On Blast with Philadelphia Student Union on WPEV 88.1 FM. You can also listen to the show online, including past shows, by going to our podcast at www.onblast.podmatic.com.
Several weeks ago, the school district announced that William Penn High School will be closing next year. Students who do not graduate next year will be sent to Ben Franklin and Simon Gratz High School. Since this news, students, parents, and community members have formed a coalition to try to save the school. In an article in the Philadelphia Tribune, parent Bobby Vandalin Leach said that this seems to have been a last-minute notice to the community, and my concerns is what's going to happen to the students. From here to Huntington Park Avenue, there are no schools. If they close this facility, it's only going to make other schools, which are already overcrowded, even more so. In a Philadelphia Inquirer article, State Representative W. Curtis Thomas said, "The coalition finally realizes that academic performance and student attendance at William Penn can be improved, but it is time to invest, not destroy, not abandon." Others have echoed their concerns. While they acknowledge that the school has many problems, they want the district to try to improve the school, not give up on it.
The school district announced that Gillespie Middle School will be closing this year. In the school district's new Imagine 2014 plan, they propose to close 30 to 35 schools across the city and hand them over to outside companies and groups. The plan also proposes closing more schools with low enrollment. As the plan moves forward, the Philadelphia Student Union, along with other students, parents, and community members, will be continuing to organize. We believe that schools need to be transformed through community process that are based on real needs of the students and communities.
Stay tuned for more On Blast after this song.
Something for my godson Elijah and little girl named Corinne. Some say the blacker the better, the sweeter the juice. I say the darker the flesh and the deeper the roots. I give a holler to my sisters on welfare. Tupac kids, if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. And when you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. But please don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive but don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love you, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need him. And I ain't trying to gas you up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? That when brothers make babies and leave a young mother to be a pastor. And since we all came
take from my women while we rape our women? Do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women, be real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies that make the babies. And since a man can't make one, he has no right to tell a woman when and where to create one. So will the real men get up? I know you're fed up, ladies, but keep your head up. Like black was the thing to be. And suddenly the kettle didn't seem so tough. And though we had it rough, we always had enough. I huffed and puffed about my curfew and broke the rules. Ran with the local crew and had a smoke or two. I realized mama really paid the price. She nearly gave her life to raise me right. And all I had to give her was my pipe dream. I holler about the mic and make it to the right screen. I'm trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. It's hard to be legit. But they're blowing in the wind. Last night my buddy lost his whole family. It's gonna take the man in me to conquer this insanity. It seems the rain will never let up. I try to keep my head up and still keep from getting wetter. You know it's funny when it rains it pours. They got money for wars but can't feed the poor. Said it ain't no hope for the youth, and the truth is it ain't no hope for the future. And then they wonder why we crazy. I blame my mother for turning my brother into a crack baby. We ain't meant to survive cause it's a setup. And even though you're fed up, you yeah. Give me your head up. Babies on their own. I know it's kind of rough and you're feeling all alone. Daddy's long gone and he left you by your lonesome. Thank the Lord for my kids, even if nobody else want them. Cause I think we can make it, in fact, I'm sure. And if you fall, stand tall or come back for more. Cause ain't nothing worse than when your son wants to know why his daddy don't love him no more. You can't complain, you was dealt this hell of a hand without a man feeling helpless. Because there's too many things for you to deal with. Inside, but outside you're looking fierce. While the tears is rolling down your cheek, your daddy hoping things don't all fall this week. Cause if it did, you couldn't take it. And don't blame me, I was given this world, I didn't make it. And now my son's getting older and older and cold from having the world on his shoulders. While the rich kids are driving bins, I'm still trying to hold on to surviving friends. And it's crazy, it seems they'll never let up.
Now we'll listen to a report about militarization by Daniel Jones and Simone Wilder.
The military targets young people in the poorest neighborhoods. They have questionable recruiting techniques they use to pull young people like us in. We asked four young people about what they think these tools are.
I feel like it's preparing people to be familiar with army fatigue. It's preparing people to be like really close with seeing people dressed up like ready for war. And that's not right.
It's two sides to it. It's like one is they're putting the clothing line out so that they can, like, dress up our nation, like, as the fighters so that they can go to war because they know they keep sending people there, people keep dying, they need more.
I mean, I feel the same way, and I feel like it's, you know, needless to be, repetitive in that the clothing lines are not subliminal, but, like, definitely messaging, and I feel the same way, you know, it's just, like, making the army look cool and stylish and, you know, finding another way to like recruit to young people, especially the working class, and not only the clothing line but other things such as, you know, video games, which, you know, some army games are, you know, considered like training ground, you know, for that person that just doesn't have a job, you know? And it's just like, you know, oh, I'm going to play this army game at the same time. I'm being trained to fight in a war.
They're targeting the working class. They're targeting the people who don't have that much money, who aren't, like, who can't really get jobs but are trying to get jobs and aren't, like, they don't have any money coming in. They're targeting them people. A lot of young people who, like, are impoverished or who are living in these type of neighborhoods, like, they play video games with people wearing army fatigue clothes. Like, they play a lot of video games that get them ready for the army. And then they see a lot of people, oh, that's hot, like, I want it. So I guess the army notices it. So they're just attacking it. Like, oh, you want to wear army fatigue? We're going to give you army fatigue.
I think it's definitely targeting the urban community, you know, people that can't afford college anyway. So it's kind of like, you know, this is your future anyway, but oh, look, that new state property is army fatigue. You look good in it anyway.
But pop culture isn't the only way the military targets young people. They also have a major presence in our schools. Khalif Dobson is a student at West Philadelphia High School.
I mean, I think the armed forces in general are always, like, targeting people. Like, particularly at West, we have junior ROTC. And I basically joined that in my ninth grade year because I needed some credits. And they was offering credits for actually, like, joining that. I guess that's one of their ways of trying to get people to join. It's, like, offering something that they need. Like, it was, yes, it actually was an enjoyable experience. Like, got a uniform to wear, so my mom actually looked kind of proud when she saw me. And then I wasn't just, like, going to go into West Philadelphia High School, just, like, with the things she had heard going on with the school, so.
I asked Khalif why he thought the military had such a big presence at his school.
So they target West because, one, they feel like, all right, these are the kids that's not going to be set up to be your CEOs. These are the people that's going to be desperate enough then have to go into the Army. So how can we go about approaching them when you install the ROTC into that school so they get aware of what the military or any armed force is, for that matter, and kind of get used to, like, marching and, like, taking orders. And, like, then after that, they're like, okay, now that we had this in the school, so these are prime people, prime candidates. So if we start taking resources out of their schools and start taking away from everything possible that could have made them, like, go to college or, like, extend their education and start to make them dependent upon a dollar, then we can definitely get these more students coming in because they'll be so dependent upon a dollar that they'll be like, okay, I'm not going to go to college anyway. My family do have, like, have needs that need to be taken care of. So why not the Army? And then you had the Army always constantly coming and recruiting. It's like a cycle in a way.
The Army does recruit and invests a lot in targeting certain communities. The American Friends Service Committee reported that the military spent billions of dollars last year in targeted recruiting of, quote, high-achieving, low-income students, end quote.
I mean, just the fact that they use the term high-achieving, low-income students, I think the emphasis would be on the term low-income. So you have the system that's set up in a way so that if you're coming out of an impoverished family, then you're in a way either going to be set up to be impoverished or you're going to do everything you can to get out of that system. So the way they pitch it to these people or these students particularly is, I want to say, an either-or option. Either you join the Army or you take your chances outside. So high-achieving, low-income students, like, I feel like if you're high-achieving, then, like, you're high-achieving. It doesn't matter if you're low-income or not. It just shows, like, how there's different standards depending on what school you're coming from.
Under No Child Left Behind, every high school junior and senior has their contact information given out to military recruiters by their schools. This is done so that recruiters can have the information of the students that they want to target for recruitment. To stop yourself from being targeted and recruited by the military, you can opt yourself out of having your information released to recruiters. Here's how you can do that. Step 1. Go to the American Friends Service Committee website at afsc.org and click on the Youth and Militarism tab at the top. There's a lot of really great information on the site, but you can find the opt-out form by clicking on the Recruiting in Schools button on the side and then clicking on opt-out on the right-hand side under Information and Resources. You can download the opt-out form from there. Step 2. Print out the form and fill it out. Remember, you do not need a parent's signature even if you're under 18.
You can address the opt-out forms to 4040 North Fairfax Drive, Suite Number 200, Arlington, Virginia, 222- 03-1613. We wanted to know why the military has such a big presence in our lives, and we found out that they do because they want to recruit us. But more than that, they specifically want to recruit poor students who have no choice but to join the Army or take their chances elsewhere.
This piece was produced by Simone Waller and Daniel Jones.
Now let's get some news about Iran and connections between art and organizing.
Iran is under a regime that does not support art. M. Alam posted an article on Wiretap magazine about a publication called Urban Iran that is one of the few outlets for young artists in Iran. The book pays tribute to the country's underground art scene. Stories of struggle are told through tags, stencils, photographs, and explanations of heavy metal music, beer styles, and censorship hiding underneath and in between the regime.
The art of the Iranian underground is similar to the art of urban communities in the U.S. Artists might not cover the oppression in the neighborhood, but they can give you an image of a rough life through their shoes. In the U.S., we don't have laws or anything against music and art as an alternative to mainstream and systematic oppression, but we have a system set up for young people to conform to, a way of thinking advertised on TV. We don't have a regime, but we have a media ready to mold the mind of every child born here. The Philly Student Union collects stories from artists and students in our neighborhoods. We began to use media, audio and video, to show not only the individual struggles, but put them into a context that exposes systematic oppression.
Stay tuned for more On Blast after this short music break.
Time on my hand, since you've been away, boy, plans. No, 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 no. And the sound of the rain against my window pane is slowly driving me insane. Boy, said I'll be going down. Oh, please forgive me, baby. I'm so sorry, 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 sorry. What did I do wrong? I said, what did I do wrong? Please forgive me, baby, and come on home. Going down, going down, going down.
And now we have Sade Canty, 11th grader at West Philadelphia High School, speaking on the announcement of the closing of the Kappa Academy.
We be the crew, guess who? The J-U-R-A-S-S-I-C. Where in the place to be?
This Thursday, the students in my school, majority of 11th graders, found out that our academy, Kappa, was getting closed down. That they put in a new ninth grade academy. And I mean, like, they told us that we don't got enough teachers to put along the rest of the academy, so they decided to cap out to put ninth grade academy in. It's not going to make West any stronger than what it is now. The people in the PSU chapter, I mean, majority of us are, like, from Kappa or have been in Kappa before, so it was like, they really, really are mad, and everybody want to jump on the story real fast. And it's like, we're not against Ms. Cruz, but we just like, why did you have to call our academy? Like, why did you have to cut that? I mean, we could have, and then she didn't bring it to us in the beginning. Like, she didn't tell no child that we were closing our academy down. And like, we could, like, it was no vote in, no type of student input. But when we got to the academies, the people just put it inside our school, put it inside West really quickly. And we didn't have no year planning about it. So it was like, they got put in there and it wasn't structured at all. So it was like, really, everything was like, not even working last year. So this year, everything is together. Everybody is coming together. People working with each other. And Kappa is really, like, helping kids on what they want to do. I mean, like, around my area, in my neighborhood, a lot of people like creating performing arts. They like the art. They like the dance. They like the act and, like, a lot of stuff like that. The Kappa Academy is very successful in our school. I mean, like, they bring a lot to the table. And Kappa Academy, their programs are during school, after school, before school, sometimes they have to, because we partner with the Kimmel Center and they do dance classes and we do art classes and we do theater, like we do acting with drama teachers and everything. And they keep kids coming to school and they keep the dropout rate really, 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 really low. Because I mean, like, I got a dance class, I'm coming to school every day to keep my grades up. It's like so much stuff going on right now that if they cut a certain academy, it's really going to make a lot of kids drop out. And it's like they're going to affect a lot of stuff that's going on because a lot of Kappa kids participate in mostly everything inside the school. So whatever comes up, they participate in it. And then, like, you eliminate so much from the school, it's like, it's nothing going to be there, no school spirit, no nothing. So it was, like, nothing for the kids to come to school for.
Now that all the smoke is gone.
Lights out.
The
battle's
fighting war.
Give me a lighter.
Victory.
Lights us up.
History so long, so long. Yeah. So long.
In search of victory, she keeps eluding me. If only we can be together momentarily. We can make love and make history. Why won't you visit me? Until she visit me, I be stuck with her sister. Her name is Defeat. She gives me agony, so much agony. She brings me so much pain, so much misery. Like missing your last shot and falling to your knees as the crowd screams for the other team. I practice so hard for this moment. Victory, don't leave. I know what this means. I'm stuck in this routine. Whole new different day, same old thing. All I got is dreams, nobody else can see. Nobody else believes, nobody else but me. Where are you, victory? I need you desperately. Not just for the moment, to make history.
Now that all the smoke is gone.
Lighter.
And the battle's finally won.
Lighters.
Victory is finally.
death. Hustling like a G where victory wasn't watching. Took chances repeatedly as a teenage boy before acne. Before I got proactive, I couldn't face sheep. I just threw on my hoodie and headed to the street. This is where I met success. We lived together shortly. Now success is like lust. She's good to the touch. She's good for the moment, but she's never enough. Everybody's had her. She's nothing like me. But success is all I got, unfortunately. But I'm burning down the block, hopping in and out of V. But something tells me that it's much more to see before I get killed, cause I can't get robbed. So before me, success and death menage. I gotta get lost, I gotta find V. We gotta be together to make history.
Now that all the smoke is gone,
lighter, sup. Lighter up,
victory is finally out.
Lighters up,
history so long, so long, so long.
Now victory is mine, she tastes so sweet. She's my trophy wife, you coming with me. We'll have a baby who stutters repeatedly. We'll name him history, hit repeat after me. He's my legacy, son of my hard work, future of my past. He'll explain who I be, rank me amongst the greats, either one, two, or three. If I ain't number one, then I felt your victory. Ain't in it for the fame that dies within weeks. Ain't in it for the money, can't take it when you leave. I wanna be remembered long after you grieve, long after I'm gone, long after I breathe. I leave all I am in the hands of history. That's my last will, testimony. This is much more than a song, it's a baby shower. I've been waiting for this hour, history, your hours.
Now that all the smoke is gone and the battle's finally won, victory is finally out. History so long, so long, so long, so long. Now that all the smoke is gone and the battle's finally won, victory is finally out. History so long, so long, so long, so long.
And then we will hear a segment by Sylvia Wright and Eric Yates on school uniforms.
Turn it up loud.
I don't think there is a reason to wear a uniform. I guess it's a way of, it's a form of control, kind of.
Well, I really don't have no problem with wearing a uniform. I think it's a good custom. But other than that, it can be a pain sometimes because I don't agree with the uniform standards.
Sports teams, low-wage workers, prisoners, soldiers, students. What do they all have in common? Uniforms. The question is, are they really meant to unify people, or are they really a means of social control?
When the school district first started to introduce uniforms, it must have been like 2000. And I think initially it was Mayor John Street's idea. It was one of the things that he had talked about when he ran for office. Philadelphia was actually one of the first big cities to introduce it district-wide. You know, and the district raised some good ideas. You know, they always raised this stuff saying, well, the uniforms, you know, will make it so that students who can't afford expensive clothes won't get made fun of and this and that. But, hey, that hasn't happened. I mean, kids still get made fun of if their clothes aren't clean or if they aren't ironed or this or that. I really feel like it was just the wrong thing for the district to focus its attention on.
I really don't know why the policy was enforced, but I can guess that it was because regular clothing was too bare and outrageous. Some things were offensive to other people, so I guess that's why.
I don't know a whole lot about how the policy was formulated. I would guess that some school district official decided if you make all the kids dress the same, it'll enforce discipline within the school. So I would guess that was the thinking behind it. And if you strip people of individuality, they'll be less likely to cause trouble because they'll turn into robots.
As I was researching the history of uniforms, I came across a website that actually sells the uniforms. And they say that, quote, school uniforms also tend to involve students more to make them a part of a team at the school. This is not so much as to erase their individuality, but to include everyone on the same level as far as image and dress is concerned. That may sound like good marketing, but I don't think it's true. Here's what some other people had to say on the issue.
I don't believe it gives the school more school spirit.
I don't like uniforms personally. I think it restricts like your personal freedom to express yourself. Like clothes are a way of expressing, and making everybody look alike, I think, restricts creativity.
I mean, prison is another place where everyone has to wear uniforms, which is what a lot of schools are preparing people for. The military, another place where they make you wear uniforms. So I guess they figure might as well start early.
And then I think the other reason, right, is that we saw, you know, it's like the schools had recently, they had, the year before, they had just put metal detectors in all the high schools. So first it was metal detectors, and then it was uniforms, and then there were all these surveillance cameras. And it felt like, you know, more and more the schools were just becoming like prisons.
Slow it down some, no split clown bum. I do believe that the uniforms identify like elementary school kids and middle school kids from the high school kids, but other than that, I don't think it profiles you from a particular school because it doesn't have the school logo necessarily.
With your uniforms, it's easier to tell what school you go to, and some people get singled out because of their uniform. Like, it's easier to spot who goes where.
I went to Masterman, where the policy wasn't strictly enforced. Our uniform technically was solid colors, but they didn't even enforce that much. And when it was enforced selectively. To me, the difference between Masterman's policy and the other schools has a lot to do with the way magnet schools are treated differently, in that part of going there is they tell you, like, there's these rules, but they kind of don't apply to you because you're so good. I mean, that's part of what the school system does, is like drawing these divisions between students who come from different areas or whose families have different amounts of money. And yeah, if you go to a Masterman, for example, and you see students from another school, you can tell they go to a neighborhood school because they're all wearing, say, a white polo shirt and khaki pants. And I feel like Masterman students would look down on someone.
Eric Braxton explains what the Philadelphia Student Union members thought about the uniform policy when it was first introduced.
For us at Student Union, when we first heard that they were going to make uniforms district-wide, I think for some of us, like in the leadership at Student Union, both students and staff, one, I think we felt like, why are they focusing so much on what students are wearing rather than what they're teaching students, you know? I guess it felt a little bit like, for us, it was part of this whole thing of demonizing youth culture. You know, oh, these kids wear baggy pants, they wear this, they wear that, they're, you know, the kids are the problems, rather than actually focusing on fixing the things that are wrong with the schools, rather than making sure that the students have qualified teachers and that they have books in their classrooms and all of those kinds of things. They were worrying about the uniforms as if that was going to fix things. I think I
The people we interviewed were Eric Braxton, Tamika Tomlinson, Brianna Morris, and Ben Landau Beispiel. And this segment was produced by Eric Yates and Sylvia Wright for On Blast.
You
You've been listening to On Blast with the Philadelphia Student Union. This is just a taste of what Student Union does. We also do ongoing campaigns to improve our schools, monthly open mics, men's and women's group meetings, academic support, political education, and lots of other youth-led activities.
If you want more information about the Philadelphia Student Union, please check out our website at www.phillystudentunion.org or email us at info@phillystudentunion.org. You can also find us on MySpace and Facebook. Send your comments and questions about the show to onblast@phillystudentunion.org. We love to hear from you.
Tune in next week, Sunday, 2 to 3, for the next edition of On Blast with Philadelphia Student Union. You can also listen to the show online by going to our podcast at onblast.podmatic.com.